you lost a survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Hello and welcome to the special preview edition of Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and I'm obviously a David. Joining me once again is my co-host, a Goliath in her own right, Jessica Lewis.
Aw, thank you so much for thinking I'm a Goliath, although I'm pretty sure I'm a David too. So,
yeah, well, let's face it, the way these things are defined,
I know.
It's kind of like, yeah, you know, I look back and I think, well, I'm obviously a David because of, you know, the way I grew up and my father was unemployed for several years. And, you know, I had to work to, you know, help him pay the bills and things like that. But on the other hand, well, now I'm a manager and I have, you know, 30 people working for me. And so
right.
It's kind of like, well, which is it? You know, because you look and you see one of the people on the Goliaths. She grew up in much poorer circumstances than I did, but right now she's in charge of her own company, basically.
Right.
And I think, called her a David, but she's on the Goliath tribe.
You know, and I do think it's interesting because the distinctions that were made about some of the people and why they were Davids versus why they were Goliaths had me scratching my head. And then some of the things that Jeff Probst was saying was that people could blossom into a Goliath, and I don't know. So maybe you and I started out as Davids and we blossomed into Goliaths. Because my story is so similar to like working at age 11. That's what I was doing. You know, I put myself through college. My parents were poor, you know, dairy farmers, and we struggled all the way through. And I kind of, as Jeff Probst would say, claw my way out of it. But I don't know. I think it's quite fascinating, though. But I do think there's some people that have been placed on tribes that I'm scratching my head about. But
well,
who knows?
They always are. You know, let's face it.
And that's true. That is true. Every year there's someone where we're a little bit confused. But we'll get through that. We definitely will.
Right. Well, anyway, for newcomers to this podcast, welcome. That was an extended introduction there. For those who have listened before, welcome back. So just to bring new listeners up to speed, I want to give a quick summary and history of the podcast. Once the season begins, we'll be here every week to discuss what each voted out player did right and wrong in terms of rules I originally wrote back after the very first Survivor season and have been updating ever since. Discussions about each player used to appear in my columns on the Reality News Online website, which I created and ran for a long time, but which I had to close down several years back. But the column was reborn as a podcast with Rob Sesternino and me a couple years ago. And then we switched things up to bring Jessica on board a couple seasons ago.
Yay!
So that is a brief history of Why Blank Lost.
And I was very, very shocked and grateful that you thought of me. So, and I've enjoyed it ever since. It's been amazing.
It has. It has been amazing with you here. So, so before we start, Jessica, how's your summer been? What have you been up to other than watching Survivor South Africa?
Can I just tell you, I have been incredibly busy. It's been nonstop. Usually summers are supposed to be filled with, I don't know, relaxation, beverages, laying by the pool. I really didn't have any of that. It's just been crazy busy. And now that school has started with the kids, it's like we are at full speed ahead. I feel like I'm on a little mouse wheel that's just going, or is it a gerbil wheel? I don't even know. One of those things that just goes round and round and round and round. You never stop. That's what my summer has been. And that's what my life just continues to be. So that's me. Nothing real exciting. I did go to Hearts of Reality, which was great. That was super fun. And I got to meet a lot of great people, raised money for a really wonderful cause. And I apologize to some fans out there that, you know, maybe I post too many pictures about it.
No, you didn't.
Well, that's good, because there was some commentary on another podcast, which I can't complain. I love them both, but I just thought it was funny that, yes, I do post pictures, as does everyone else who went out there. But
well, also, let's face it, anyone who follows you on Twitter or wherever else should know you post pictures.
I do, because it's so much fun. This whole social media platform thing has been almost like an experiment for me, because I never did it before I went on Survivor, and now I love it. So sorry if you don't like the photos, but I do enjoy the photos very much.
We know. So,
and I'm getting you there. I am getting you there.
I know. So listeners who follow me on Twitter, speaking of Twitter, or who are in the RHAP patron Facebook group, already know how part of my summer went. That was that I had a heart attack almost exactly 3 months ago before I even turned 50. This is what the Survivor off season does to me. It's the stress of what am I going to do? There's no Survivor.
Oh, well, that's not good if it causes that much stress for you.
Yeah. Well, luckily there's international Survivor, so that, you know,
that's
picked
true.
Up. So I spent much of my summer recovering from that and getting back to normal, and finished my cardiac rehab program a couple days ago, and I'm feeling good. As a matter of fact, I'll even be traveling to New York for the Know It Alls live next week.
And I'm so jealous. I want to be there, and I don't see it happening, which is sad.
Yeah, I know.
I have a really horrific trial schedule up and coming. So I have multiple trials and multiple investigations that are just too time consuming for me to really give up 2 days at work. And I'm very sad about that. I tried, I looked at it. I was like, maybe, but no, it's not going to happen. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be on trial that week. So that's sad.
And just to be clear for people, you're not actually on trial. you are a prosecutor.
I should clarify. I actually have to prosecute multiple cases. So the cases that I have up and coming. So, you know, I'm not in trouble, thank goodness. But yes, thanks for the clarification, because I don't want anyone to think I'm, you know, some criminal or anything.
Just see Reddit gone wild on that one. What did she do?
I hope everyone's going to try to figure it out. Yeah, well, that's why I was busy. So there, that's part of my life is very busy, because my job is very busy. I love it, but super busy.
Well, while I'm there, I will think of you, because I'll be wearing T-shirts from you. And as a matter of fact, one thing that helped me feel better were some birthday presents I got from you, including a shirt that says, I may be wrong, but it's highly unlikely.
I thought it was perfect. I'm so glad like it.
I showed it to several coworkers and they said, oh, yeah, she definitely knows you.
And I do hope that when you watch the show, you have your damn it doll with you, so you can angrily beat it up when things don't go your way. And when I'm right, those few times that I'm actually right, you can take it out on the doll.
So, yes, that was another one of the items. And there were a couple other things, good fun things. And there was also a Hearts of Reality program autographed by a huge number of reality show people. So thank you and everyone who helped you, because it's really awesome.
Yeah. And I was sad when I started to go through it and see who had been missed. I only thought there was a couple. And then I realized, I don't know what was going on with like the Ghost Island people. I think quite a few of them had, you know, I don't know, walked away from their table for a bit. But
are you saying they ghosted?
Apparently, because I was like, wait, where's this person? Why didn't this person sign? But I'm glad that we got so many for you and that you enjoyed it. So, and that was actually Aaron's idea. My husband thought of it, and I thought that's a great plan. So I'm glad it came together.
Me too. So thank you again.
You're very welcome.
All right. So today we're going to talk about the players and make some predictions, which you love to do, mm-hmm. as you know, as anyone would expect for a preview show. And I know that there's a lot of preview shows out there. So thank you to anyone who's already made it this far, what's special about our show is we will also address how we think they will do with the rules, at least in, you know, some cases where we can figure that out, and also discuss some tweaks that I've made to the rules for this season. Now, before we get to that, I do want to mention over the summer, there were two Y-Blank-1 podcasts covering New Zealand Survivor and South African Survivor, as I mentioned, those, you know, international survivors that, you know, kept me going during the off season. And, you know, you, Jessica, were able to keep up with South Africa. So we did that one together.
Mm-hmm.
And I had special guest Shannon Gates on the New Zealand podcast with me. So I encourage everyone to watch those seasons if you haven't already, and to listen to those podcasts if you have. And heck, listen to them even if you haven't. Who cares if you're never going to watch them? We will actually have a couple examples from the South African season in some of the new changes to the rules. So, you know, those will come up. I don't think they're particularly spoilery, but don't be surprised when those are there. So we can start with those rule additions now. Anyone who would like to can find the full set of rules posted at robhasawebsite.com/survivor rules. And right now is last season's version. I don't think we've had a chance to post the new version yet, but we'll try to get that new version posted as soon as possible. Most of the additions don't really change the rules themselves, but they add some new specific examples. And we're not going to worry about discussing those particular things here. Rather, we'll focus on the things that are more substantive. And one that I think, you know, does deserve mention is the very first one, where I added a note to the first rule, and that first rule tells players to scheme and plot. The note emphasizes once again how important strategy is compared to actual survival elements. Now, this should be no surprise to anyone, but last season, Jeff Probst talked about the reduced rations, and it sounded like he was trying to put providers in a better position within the tribe. And we kind of lamented that, like, come on, you know, what are you doing here, Jeff? Mm-hmm. But then we barely heard anything about it during the season. And of course, strategy still ruled the day.
Yeah.
So if it's not going to matter in a season where they cut the food supplies that much, let's face it, it's not going to matter ever.
Well, and how about just all the rewards where food is associated to it? I mean, I realize they've been doing that for a long time in the Survivor world, but the very early seasons, I mean, I think, and you have to correct me if I'm wrong, but like one of the first times we actually saw food as an option as opposed to competing in the challenge was when it was the chocolate and peanut butter, you take off your clothes, we'll give you chocolate and peanut butter whole thing. I think that's like the first time, and that was Rob Cesarnino's season, like the first time he was on. And so I don't know if that's where it kind of came from, but from there it's grown exponentially where there's full meals being offered to people regularly as part of a reward. And so it's not just chocolate and peanut butter anymore. It's full, you know, burgers and drinks and fries. And so your being hungry is really quite limited unless you never win. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's a huge issue anymore. I just really don't. I think there's even if you don't win, there's still plenty of things to eat. I didn't win hardly anything out there and I still felt great. So I think your body acclimates to it.
Yeah, somewhat. I think, you know, we've seen in cases where it's particularly bad, like the in the Triple H season where they were just kind of moping around like zombies.
Yes, that was funny. That was quite funny. So it not that it can't negatively affect you. It certainly can. It all depends on how the game plays out. But it's not, I just don't feel like it's as much of an issue as it used to be in the earlier seasons.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. So anyway, you know, that was just an addition that I made to the first rule there. The second rule, which warns against scheming and plotting too much, had a couple of the more substantive changes. First, in the section dealing with the reasons for never letting your target know ahead of time if you're voting them out, there was already discussion about how the prevalence of idols is a very good reason to avoid doing this. I added an example from South African Survivor that shows just how important the blindside aspect can be, because if things had gone differently, the whole season would have been turned upside down. And, you know, that was a situation where
I think she was ridiculous for thinking that was actually going to happen. That's what I think.
Well, that's true. You know, I mean, but, you know, she tried. And there are a lot of times when people will say, well, you know, we wanted them to feel OK, so we just let them know when it was going to happen. And in this case, that person had an idol unknown to anyone else, and it just would have been really bad for them. So, again, another big reason not to. later in the second rule, I pulled out a side note that had been in there and had been growing a little bit, and it put an expanded discussion of it at the end of the rule as a special corollary. And this is the warning that while players still have to keep their scheming secret, they need to avoid keeping it too secret, or else no one will give them credit at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at first, we only had one or two examples of this, but now it seems to have grown like an epidemic to the point that I felt I needed to expand my discussion a bit. We've seen it happen to Steven. That was the first, you know, obvious one. But more recently, Aubrey, Ryan, Laurel, even Dominic. Plus, it even happened on South African Survivor.
Mm-hmm. No, we did absolutely see that in the South African Survivor. And I think that that was, that vote at the end was a very good example of the jury looking to the two people sitting there and knowing a lot about one, kind of thinking they know a lot about the other, and the one that they kind of think they know a lot about, not really building and adding to what they think they know about. The jury wants to have something to grab onto. And if you don't give them something to grab onto, they'll find something that they already know about the person and use that as an excuse for their vote. So I do think that that was a perfect example of someone who I think played the game exceptionally well, but unfortunately, it wasn't visible to the people that were deciding her fate. And that's just so. Yeah, I think that was sad for her, but a good example of why this rule has expanded.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So skipping ahead to the seventh rule. So in other words, I didn't have a whole lot to add to the ones in the middle there. It discusses idols and advantages, and I added a paragraph about fake idols, because as they proliferated, players have gotten savvier about detecting them, so you can't just throw together a shell and a couple pieces of string now. Players expect parchment to go along with it, so you either need to have a real note or a good reason that you don't have a real note.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either way, much like when you're bluffing at a poker table, you really need a story to sell it. You can't just, oh, look what I found. No, they're not going to buy that.
And I think the way that the game has developed, you have so many more super fans, and you could easily add to this rule even further that the theme of the actual season can affect whether or not you can use a fake idol. And we saw that with the Ghost Island, where relics were coming back and old idols were coming back, and people's familiarity with those former idols and those relics actually caused one of the fake idols that was made to not even be used. So it's become so significant in the game, so much so that it can actually affect whether or not you can use them, depending on the theme. And I don't think we'll see necessarily a Ghost Island theme again, but people have become that savvy because they're paying attention that much and they're watching the show with that much involvement.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, if we ever did have a Ghost Island 2 or something like it, then, yeah, we would definitely at that point need that extra section that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. There, I get a little added bonus, maybe.
That's right. All right. Finally, in Appendix B, which discusses the jury phase of the game, I added a quote from a South African Survivor player. Jean was talking to another player and trying to convince him away from his path of doing what he considered to be the quote-unquote honorable thing. And she pointed out to him, beating the best doesn't mean you have to stand up against them at the end. Beating the best means you vote them out and they're on the jury.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great summary of what I've always said. You don't want to face off against a strong opponent at the end. You want to have gotten rid of them before that point.
Yeah, because then you can point at them when they're sitting in the jury and say, hey, I put you over there, and get credit for it. And the other jury's members will probably feel the same.
You would hope, anyway.
That is true. You would hope. You would definitely hope. Yeah.
All right. So those are the major additions and changes. With those preliminaries done, I think it's time to start talking about the David versus Goliath contestants.
Yay. I'm very excited.
All right. Well, we will begin with the David tribe.
I am frustrated because we talked about this at the end of the last season about how it was David versus Goliath, and that you were really going to be the Davids and I was going to be the Goliaths. And I love so many of the Davids.
Well, like, that's good.
Damn it.
That's good. David. let's face it, Davids are lovable.
They really are. They really are. So we'll try to get through this and see if we can make it. But I do. There are Goliaths I love too, but there's a spot in my heart for some of these Davids so much. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, we will go in alphabetical order by first name for those of you playing along at home. That means we will.
That's fantastic.
We will start with Bai, who is a 28-year-old MMA fighter. And, you know, that fact and just taking a look at her tells me that I don't think she'll be voted out right away, you know, due to any challenge problems, because the tribe will want strong women for the challenges. However, she just started watching the show, and after binging 6 seasons, she made the statement that nobody knows what makes a winner, as if she's suddenly an expert. Well, Bai, we are the experts here, and we say that, yes, we do know what makes a winner.
Yeah, is it B or is it Bai? I thought she was like Killer B. I thought that was her MMA name was Killer B.
You know, I think you're right. I think you're right. So, sorry, B.
But B-I makes sense to say Bai, but the only reason I believe it's B, besides, I think that's how... Killer B. That's what sticks out in my mind, is that her MMA name was Killer B.
So basically, there are some hard to pronounce names, and I managed to screw up the one with 2 letters in it.
Listen, I've been there too. I did that for a whole episode, I think. Kellen was Colin. Remember that?
Oh, yes, yes.
We've been there. We've been through
it. All right. So sorry, B. You know, like I said, we do know what makes a winner. You know, we do a Y Blank One podcast every season. So she's acting a little bit too much like an expert after this. And also, she said in her CBS bio, being a fighter, I'm a great strategist. Before a fight, besides the physical training, we watch and study film on our opponents to assess and strategize how to defeat them. Most of all, I am adaptable. And the thing is, she won't have film or be able to study her opposition ahead of time. Mm-hmm. She'll have to do it all on the fly. So for her sake, she will need to be as adaptable as she claims, and then some. But I have to question her ability to properly assess her fellow players. Because when I heard her talking on First One Out about season 35, well, I came to the same conclusion that Rob did in his and Nicole's cast preview. She was watching a different show than I was.
Yeah.
Because what she said about Ben doesn't it match up some with Ben, but it doesn't match up with how Ben won. And, you know, I don't know how she assesses the people around her if she couldn't see what was on TV in front of her.
Yeah.
So, and on top of all that, the type of strategy that's necessary in a fight is different from the type that's necessary on Survivor.
Yes. And the big difference and the big problem I think she's going to have is when she's fighting in her MMA fights, she's fighting against people who are also training to fight in MMA. She's going up against people on Survivor who are actually like super fans who have studied the game, who know it inside and out. They're on her tribe. They're going to be going against her, and she is going to be nowhere near they are as far as preparation for this game. And that's where I really see her faltering, if you will, because she is going up against some hardcore competition that is way out of her league, because you can't come into this game just starting to watch, you know, a month and a half ago and cramming in 6 seasons, because you're going to be missing the big picture, and you're going to be missing all of the extra components, because you're just watching a show. If you're trying to cram that many seasons in such a small amount of time, you're not learning, you're not digesting, you're not really going through all of the nuances of Survivor. You're just watching a show. I think she's going to be in a tough, tough spot.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, on top of that, I didn't exactly get the warm and fuzzies from her on First One Out.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah, between that and her being a newbie who I believe thinks she knows more than she actually does, I see her as a pre-merge boot.
Yeah, I think she might even be in a worse place than that.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we haven't. Okay. We're not doing predictions yet, right?
No. We're waiting. Not till the end of the tribe. That's fine. All right. Next up is Carl, who is a 41-year-old truck driver. And his CBS bio portrays him somewhat as a man of few words. But his answer to the question of why he thinks he'll survive Survivor is, I feel that I can outwit, outlast, and outplay everyone else. So a little light on the details there, Carl.
I love Carl.
Yeah.
I so love Carl. I do.
Why could you do it? Because I can do it. Yeah.
I know, but okay, that's, you know. But you know what? Here's the thing about Carl. Carl is, he is a man of few words, but the words that he uses are enjoyable. So, like, he made me laugh out loud multiple times listening to First One Out. And he just, because he's just so honest. He'll just tell you, but it's honesty in a good way. It's not honesty like I'm better than you. He realizes where he comes from. He knows that he's worked hard to get there. He appreciates everything he has. But he also loves Survivor. So he's been a fan. He's watched it. He understands it. And Jeff described him as a sleeper to win. Because he's not going to get in anyone's way. And that's what I love about Carl. He is going to just be the likable, nice guy. That's just Carl. I mean, he told Wiggler, like, right off the bat. Wiggler asked him how he was doing. And he's like, I'm fixing to play effing Survivor. What do you think? You know, he's just like, how can you not love this guy? Because I see him doing exceptionally well, especially because of the people that are on the tribe with him. I see some really good relationships for him.
Yeah, I mean, he does seem very down to earth. He seems kind of go along, get along. And, you know, on top of all that, he seems to know that you have to throw your morals out the window, which is obviously important in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he could do well also.
Love him. Carl's one of my faves.
Okay. So moving on, we have Christian, who is a 32-year-old robotics scientist, and in his CBS bio, he said, I also want to make my mark on this game and help innovate the way Survivor is strategically played. I would certainly be interested to see that happen, and I admire the idea, but the question is whether he can actually make it happen. You know, as a nerd and an RHAP fan, he's automatically an early favorite for me. And his bio suggests he will be flexible and willing to jump alliances. But one thing worries me, and that's his idea to make a mark on the game, because I just have a feeling that when we talk about why he lost, it'll be because he schemed and plotted too much.
Well, and how about the fact that he's Cochran 2.0? Like he...
Or Stephen Fishback 2.0.
Yeah. I mean, I like him. Don't get me wrong. I really do like him. But he even sounds just like Cochran. Like, just reading his bio, I actually hear Cochran's voice in my head, which is weird because he speaks just like him. And he looks much like him. And he's already been pointed out by other people who have seen him at Ponderosa that he's very reminiscent of Cochran. So, and I do believe it was Pat that pointed out the fact that he scares the hell out of him because he's like Cochran. And so people might actually look at him as an early on threat, because I feel like the threat levels are shifting a lot. And now if they see you as not only like a super fan, but a Cochran like player, you're going to be in trouble. And so I feel like he's really going to have to overcome that idea that he could play just like Cochran. And it sounds like that's what he wants to do.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I guess it depends if the super fans have a majority.
Yes.
Then, you know, the people who want to target them won't be able to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So
very true.
It's just a matter of whether they will all get together or whether they'll all worry about each other and target each other.
Yeah, I hope they get together. That would be much more fun. That would definitely be much more fun.
All right. Next up, Davey is a 30-year-old social media manager and self-described blurred or black nerd. So we have another nerd right again. And, you know, that makes me want to root for him. But listening to him on First One Out, again, causes me worry. In this case, I just feel like he's overexcited and overthinking a bit, which could be in part because he was a late addition and he hasn't had as much downtime and prep time as everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, it's almost like his body's still full of adrenaline.
Yeah. And you know what? This is my thought on that. I'm going to pull a Jeff Probst because I love it when Jeff says this about people, because he'll say that someone is either going to go deep or they're going to go out early, which is basically like, what other option is there?
In the middle.
Right. So I feel like his late addition to this game is going to be one of those two things. It's either going to cause him to go out early or it's going to cause him to go really deep, because he hasn't had all of that prep time and time to really think about stuff. And maybe with his personality, that will work out exceptionally well, that he hasn't really had all this time to overthink everything because he was just kind of thrust into it, and it will help him get along further in the game. But he did say he's an erratic person, so I don't know if that's going to negatively affect his game or help him. So he's an interesting one. Like, I'm intrigued because he seems very likable and also very outgoing. So, and also he's an unknown because he came in so late. So they didn't have a chance to really study him like they might've studied others.
Well, yeah. And that is the part, the other part that worries me is he could be an easy target.
Mm-hmm.
If the David tribe goes to a couple of quick tribal councils, because, hey, there's that guy we don't know. We didn't see him in casting. We haven't made any eye contact with him. He hasn't been around. He's easy to pick off. No one will be upset about that.
Yes, because you give them a reason. And that's what I said earlier. If the jury has a reason, and at this point, you know, at this point in time, it would just be the tribe, any reason that they can grab onto to vote someone out. And that could be his reason, that he's just a late addition.
Yeah. So, all right. Next up is Elizabeth, a 31-year-old kitchen worker with pet peeves that might get her in trouble on Survivor, since she says she hates lazy people and stupid people, both of whom she is likely to encounter on the show.
I love this woman, too. Yeah. She's fantastic.
She says she plans to develop relationships with unlikely people and help bring cultures and ages together, which suggests that she intends to be a social player. And, you know, she added that she loves strategy and doesn't mind cutting ties if it benefits her. Of course, all of this is easier said than done. But yeah, I think that she's one of the people that Probst said would either be gone right away or be there for a long time. It just depends on how people receive her.
Yeah, but I think she's in a good place with the people that she's on the tribe with. If you look at potential relationships, she and Carl are both from Texas. They're both, you know, they got their cowboy hats. They're both cowboys. Their faith is important to them. I know Pat is also, seems like faith is very important to him. I feel like she's surrounded by people that could help her get further, because there's some baseline for a relationship there, for a friendship. Plus, she also wants to work with, Larsa. Is that how you say her name? Larsa?
Larsa.
Larsa. She wanted to work with her. So who knows? Maybe that relationship will develop. But I think she's fantastic. Any woman who can give birth in 5 months from giving birth, find herself on an island in Survivor and be like, hell yeah, I'm doing this.
And it was a C-section.
Yeah, she's a beast. I love it. Like, and her husband is amazing. I love him too. I don't even know him. But I just think that she's got a great something about her energy, and she's clearly very hardworking. And, you know, she even describes herself as a little crazy. So maybe that'll be a good thing for her out there, because she's going to be willing to take things on. I don't know. There's just something about her that I initially was hesitant when I first saw who she was. I was like, oh, I don't know about that. But then the more I read about her and the more I heard her speak, I think she's got a good chance to do very well.
Okay. So, I don't really have much to add to that. So next up is Aubrey. Gabby.
No, she is not Hannah. All right. Listen, I like Hannah. You know, she was on my season. Gabby is not Hannah. Everyone who's comparing her to Hannah, I will tell you right now, because she is not Hannah.
It's because CBS or Survivor is trying to make her look like that. They're playing up that she has these anxieties, you know, and, like Hannah did.
Yeah, no, it's so. She is not. Hannah was very quirky, and she was very, she did have anxiety. Gabby does not in one way at all remind me of Hannah other than she has brown curly hair and wears glasses. That's the extent of the Hannah feel I get from Gabby.
All right. Well, you would know better. So anyway, Gabby is a 25-year-old technical writer who says her pet peeves are people who are wrong about facts but think they are right, and people who lack self-awareness. And once again, she's going to encounter both on Survivor. Now, Gabby is an RHAP fan, which is obviously good, but she says in her bio, human psychology and social dynamics fascinate me, and I'm excited to insert myself into the craziest experiment out there. And that's great, but the thing is, being fascinated by those things doesn't mean that a given person is actually good at them. We'll have to wait and see whether or not Gabby is. But she also said, I have knowledge of the game, but I'm social enough to hide it and not be a complete dork. Just based on what we've already seen and heard, the part about hiding being a dork, I'm not sure that's true. And yeah, that's no offense, you know, this is me talking here. So, but I also don't think she should necessarily try to hide whatever dorkiness she has, because trying to be something you're not makes everything else more difficult in this game.
Yes, that's true. And she, her Ponderosa performance, and I'm using air quotes when I say that, might put her in a bad place at the start, just because most of the people around her thought she was really quiet, kind of kept to herself, read a lot in her own world. She wasn't really making a whole lot of contact with people. And I mean, she's studying them, as she said, but it's one of those situations where you need to try to make some type of a connection with people at that point in time in the game, because the game has started even though you're not on the island yet. And she didn't necessarily do that, but I'm hoping that her demure attitude will actually help her form relationships, because she's not going to come on too strong with people, and she will actually take time to get to know them. I mean, she did say that she can be very disarming and that she thinks people will tell her a lot about themselves because of her personality, and maybe that'll work out for her and she'll end up forming some good bonds. But it's she was clearly seen as someone who is very quiet in Ponderosa.
Yeah, and that was one thing I noticed, too. You know, Jeff Probst said he thinks Gabby is excellent socially, but on First One Out, there was already some talk about her being, well, the first one out. And I also agree with what Rob said when he talked about weather conditions in his preview podcast and how some of the smaller women could suffer the most.
Yeah, that's true. That is definitely true.
So, you know, speaking of smaller women who could suffer the most, we move on to Jessica, a 19-year-old whose bio says she's a waitress, but I mean, she's 19, so she could still be anything.
That's true. Good point.
But, you know, she plans to lie about her age, which I think is a mistake at this point, because to me, she looks so obviously young, and the players just saw a player who lied about his age, and I'd say she'll get busted as soon as alcohol is provided as a reward, but I'm not sure she'll make it that far.
Well, and you know, here's the thing that I think is going to end up really affecting her is, I understand this whole concept of David versus Goliath, but here you have a David who is only 19. So it's your past experiences are really what make you who you are when you're playing this game. And she's already come from a life that's not like the Goliaths, where she's been exposed to a whole lot, provided a whole lot, where she's had this incredible, you know, education and this introduction to the world. You know, she's not a world traveler like one of the Goliaths is. And I feel like that's going to work against her that much more in this season, because it's supposed to be about where you come from. And she's only 19. So how much exposure has she really had? I mean, yes, we've all been through a lot by the time we're 19, but I don't know if she's really had enough time to take that David philosophy, if you will, and turn it into who she is now, where Pat is someone, you know, who's actually taken that that mantra of I had to work hard for everything. And so this is where I am right now. And it's because I earned it. She's still building that. She's still trying to earn it. I don't know if that makes sense, but I feel like that's going to work against her.
It does. And actually, it's similar to something I had noticed, because her goal is to play like Sarah in Game Changers, which isn't an admirable idea, but not for a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, for one thing, Sarah had a first season in which she was able to establish her trustworthiness before she used it in her second season. And I mean, let's face it, I don't think as many people would have trusted her if that was her first season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, so there's that. Plus, there's all of Sarah's life experiences that Jessica doesn't have. Jessica thinks she can be flexible enough to make it through the game, but I just don't think it'll happen, as much as I would love to see a Davey versus Jessica final two.
I know, that would be incredible, wouldn't it? Could you imagine? But yeah, I don't think we're going to get there either.
No, no. All right. From jumping from there, we have Lyrsa. And that was the name I studied up on how to pronounce. You know,
I'm impressed because I didn't.
So she is a 36-year-old airline agent, and she's been a fan since the beginning and understands that the game is mostly social and strategic, not physical. This is one of the people, Jeff said, they'll either be out early or stay for a long time. My first inclination was early, but I've already mentioned a few others who are likely early, so it's hard to pin her as one also, unless they just go on a horrible losing streak and there's no tribal swap. But you know, too often those who are obviously different are targeted, so I just hope she can overcome that. The other thing she needs to overcome is that she apparently has a defensive attitude, and so if she doesn't do well in challenges, you don't want to be too defensive about it, and that could really come into play.
Yeah, the other thing too, she was talking about how she doesn't like stress or pressure, which you're playing Survivor. That's going to be like 24/7. You're going to feel stress and pressure. So if you don't like it, I hope you can deal with it, because you're going to be. And and she also talked about how she wouldn't have a game mind all of the time, which again, that's not going to cut it either. If you're not thinking about the game 24/7, then you're going to miss something. Trust me, you're going to miss something. And that's not going to bode well. And so I struggle with where she's going to fall, because she might end up doing well because she will align herself with someone who is thinking about the game 24/7. And because someone like Elizabeth wants to work with her, that might be her saving grace. She ends up forging a relationship with a person who is thinking about the game and is thinking, she's someone that I can bring along with me, because she will vote with me and we'll have a relationship and I can kind of use her for an extra vote. So maybe that'll be where she falls.
All right. So our next contestant is Nick, a 27-year-old public defender who will be lying and not telling people he's a lawyer.
Shocking.
You don't know anything about that, do you?
I know. It's so funny. I do think it's hysterical, because no one ever wants to say they're a lawyer. I didn't say it. Chris didn't say it. And it just has such a negative connotation when people first hear it, he's a public defender. So that means he works for, he fights for people. That's a good thing. But just by saying you're a lawyer, they're going to make assumptions about you. You're smart. You're well-educated. You're strategic. You're analytical, whatever you want
to say. You
can argue
in front of the jury.
Yeah. I mean, all of these things that are not going to bode well in the game of Survivor. So kudos to him. I hope he can pull it off and keep that under wraps.
Yeah. Yeah. And he seems to have a good story, you know, planned out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he also believes he is the Survivor total package, because he's likable. He's a social guy, and he's also stronger and smarter than he looks, and considers himself a strategy expert and super fan. And he also happens to be another RHAP patron. Mm-hmm. So, I find it hard to argue against anything he said. Plus, Jeff Probst called him quirky and likable. Now, one worry I had is that Nick has been featured so prominently in the Survivor ads. And, you know, why would they do that if he's the winner? But then I thought about it and realized there's no way Probst and the couple other people who actually know who the winner is would let anyone in advertising know either way. They don't leak that information.
That's true. And I don't know if you noticed this, and maybe I'm just crazy and looking at things too hard, but on the intro, when they show his second picture, does he not look emaciated?
I did not notice that part.
So. I did. I was like, wait, what? That can't be the same guy. That can't be, because his face looks much thinner. So I don't, maybe I'm looking at it too closely, but man, he looks much, much thinner.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know. We'll just have to see if he continues to be prominently featured throughout the season, but I think he will, you know, go a long way.
I think he's got a good shot too. And this is going to sound terrible, but I do think he's, and I don't know if it's going to sound terrible, but I think he's going to be able to pull off the lie about being a lawyer pretty well because of the theme of the show. If, you know, the Davids who are not that you can't, I mean, I still think I'm a David and I'm a lawyer, but it's from where you come from and what got you here. And I thought Jeff Probst's theory of him being so complicated as a David because he had a chance to become a Goliath and decided to go back and take care of the Davids. He's taking care of his family and not trying to become some corporate lawyer and making a lot of money. He's a public defender. And so it's this weird kind of convoluted cycle that he's found himself in. And I think it's going to be very easy for him to lie about being a lawyer because he's on the David tribe.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll just have to see with him. And that brings us to the final David. That is Pat, a 40-year-old maintenance manager. And like Carl, a man of few words in his CBS bio, which may be the opposite of him in person because he seems to have a big personality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that personality will potentially be his biggest weakness since Jeff Probst says he's not really socially adept.
Yeah, he reminds me just from listening to First One Out, he reminds me very much of Paul from my season, where he was the one in Ponderosa that everybody took notice of. He was talking to everybody. He was very outgoing, was talking when he wasn't supposed to be talking. And those are things that people all took note of. And unfortunately, if you're someone who's not following the rules when you're supposed to be following the rules, when it's pretty clear you're supposed to be following the rules, how is that going to develop into a survivor strategy and into your game? And that's what happened with me and Paul. I mean, I saw that with Paul where I didn't know where he was coming from and what he was going to end up doing because of his very boisterous personality. And he would say things that kind of made me scratch my head. I feel like Pat's going to suffer that same fate where he isn't going to be able to keep it under wraps. And I think that is going to be a huge detriment to his game.
Yeah. You know, and the other thing is relating to that, he said on First One Out something, I think I understood this right. He said something like he does things his way because that's what his dad did.
Yeah.
And that sounds absolutely inflexible. And, you know, obviously that's a bad trait to have on Survivor. But with all that said, I think at least for the first few votes, they're going to keep him because of his physical strength.
And that's where I'm kind of going back and forth, that might work to his advantage because of his physical strength. And I also think that he and Carl might end up hitting it off because they're very, their family is very important to them. The relationships that they have with their children and their spouses is very important. And so I think that he might find some closeness to people like Carl and that will keep him around. But I also don't know if Carl's going to really put up with it for too long.
that's what I was thinking. I mean, Carl's a get along type of guy,
yeah.
But I think he'll get along to the point that he's like, we got to get rid of this guy, you know?
Yeah.
Now I do have to mention one thing in Pat's CBS bio that had me scratching my head. He said, my mental, physical, and emotional skills are unmatched.
Yeah. I don't know where that's coming from.
I just don't think that's true. You know, I mean, all of them unmatched, really? It seems unlikely.
Well, and I was very excited when I heard that Pat was going to be on the show because he's basically my neighbor. I mean, like in my stomping ground, if you will, he lives in the same county as I do in here in New York State. So
have you ever bumped into him or seen him in court or?
No, I've never actually bumped into him. I did reach out just to say like, hey, if you need anything, but didn't go anywhere. So, you know, I mean, it just because I just want him to know like, hey, listen, you know what? There's a support group if you need it. And the fact that That's he's right. so close, you know, so trust me, I'm not spoiled. I got nothing. Like I literally got nothing, but no, I thought that was really cool. And he was the inspiration for the theme. So that's kind of neat too, well, to know that.
It depends on which time Jeff Probst is talking. Cause one time he said Pat and sometimes he said Carl. So.
Oh, you know. Did he really?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, well, I was all excited for Pat. So,
well, I, you know, who knows? It could have been both of them.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But yeah, so Pat's kind of one of those. And also, I think he's a bit of an anomaly when it comes to, even though he is loud and boisterous, I think the people at Ponderosa are still kind of like trying to figure him out. I'm telling you, when you have tattoos, people pay attention to those tattoos and they're going to try to know what they mean. And it sounds like they've figured it out all wrong thus far on Pat. Nah, so we'll see.
Okay. All right. So we've gone through everyone on the David tribe, and for our first set of predictions here, I would say it wouldn't surprise me if the first vote comes down to a choice of Gabby or Jessica. What do you think?
Oh, no, I'm not. No, I think it's going to be B or Jessica, honestly. And I think it's more likely B than Jessica.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just thinking of, you know, that they'll look at them and see that B is the stronger of the women.
And that's true. Yeah. But I also feel like B could end up being a little too much too soon because she does sound like she has that way about her. Whereas someone like Jessica, Pat talked about treating her like a daughter. And I feel like Jessica would really appreciate that if someone kind of took her under her wing. And you've got very strong personalities in someone like Elizabeth. And I don't know if Elizabeth is going to jive well with B. I could be wrong, but there's just this thing I'm feeling B might be in a bad spot.
Okay. All right. Well, we will see about B. Okay. Before we get to the Goliaths, I just want to remind everyone that if you're buying anything on Amazon, make sure to head over to the RHAP Amazon page at www.amazon.com/shop/RHAP. You can find specific items related to the show and RHAP, or you can click from that page to do any other Amazon shopping. Whenever I shop on Amazon, I always stop there first. It doesn't cost anything additional, and it supports RHAP. Just yesterday, I ordered some healthy snacks like almonds and dried fruit and baked sweet potato chips and things.
Oh, no salt and vinegar chips?
No, sorry. Chips in general are, you know, not exactly on the menu anymore.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't laugh. That was terribly mean.
It's okay. Went through that link, even though it had nothing to do with RHAP. So everyone else can as well. That's www.amazon.com/shop/RHAP. Now it's time to talk about the Goliath tribe. We, once again, will go in alphabetical order by first name, and we'll start with one whose name came up a bit in the preseason. I guess anyone who's listening, if you're really, really spoiler averse and you haven't heard anything on social media, you might want to skip a couple minutes ahead. But considering that our podcast normally talks about what happens on Twitter and social media anyway, I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's a big spoiler. It's been out there. It was in the news. It was on TMZ.
Yeah.
You know, it was discussed in the patron groups. This is not much of a spoiler. But anyway, so we will begin with Alec.
All right. So Alec Merlino is a 24-year-old bartender from California, and he describes himself as charismatic, tenacious, and humorous, and thinks that he will survive because he is his unstoppable social game. Because he is a bartender, which I thought was quite interesting. So, yeah, you've already talked a lot about Alec, and I'm frustrated. I'm already frustrated because of Alec. As a former Survivor player, someone who managed to keep their then 8-year-old son from spilling the beans about mom being on the show, and this guy who's 24 can't even do it. Like, I just, oh my, really? I mean, you're making it more difficult for everybody down the pike who wants to play this game. You really are. Like, I don't know why he did it. I think it's ridiculous. And it frustrates me. It frustrates me for people who want to play this game, because it really is so scary to sign those agreements and agree to a potential $5 million lawsuit if you say anything you're not supposed to. And this guy is literally telling CBS, excuse my language, but I mean, you saw what the picture said.
Yeah. He's saying, yeah, F you basically. You know, look at this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, I mean, on his, what I find funny on his CBS bio, one of his hobbies, he says, is making travel videos. Maybe there's one piece of travel he shouldn't have spread around the internet there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I mean, so, this is a big spoiler for anyone who's listening, because it implicates another one of the players.
Right.
So it's just, it's so frustrating, because for someone like you or like me, who's trying to figure out the season and how relationships are going to blossom and who could potentially be the first one voted out and who could potentially win, when you see somebody do what he did and the other person who was involved in it as well, it throws everything off, because now you're looking at it going, well, if he had won, he certainly wouldn't have done that. I don't think, you know, he hasn't, now he's not being invited to the finale. So are you going to not invite the winner to the finale? I mean, unless CBS is really like sticking it to him. I mean, it's really so damn aggravating. So Alec, thanks for like spoiling it for everybody who's trying to like figure these things out. And making it difficult for everybody down the road.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Jeff Probst said, like you mentioned, Alec is very charismatic and expected him to be good at the social game. And normally these days, I would say it would be hard to think that the surfer guy type will be out early, because they've just done well recently.
Mm-hmm.
But considering what he did, it appears that he is, shall we say, not very bright.
Yeah.
And, you know, with that in mind, I got to predict he won't even make the merge.
He can't. I mean, I just don't see how anyone would have that attitude if they, because you just don't know. After you make the merge, you have no idea what the game is going to entail as far as any possibilities. I mean, they tell you that you might get a monetary award. You might not, but you don't know. And that's the thing that CBS is very good at. You seriously have no idea what you could or could not get. And taking a chance like that, I don't think anyone would, unless they were one of the first few like out of the game, to have that response. Something terrible had to have happened when he was out on that island to do something like that and just kind of throw it aside and act like he doesn't care.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's the potential that we could all be surprised. But you know, your scenario sounds the most likely.
Yeah, we'll see.
So sorry to anyone who only skipped 2 minutes ahead. We went a little longer than 2 minutes there.
That's him.
Yeah. So.
All right. I'll move on to the next one.
Yep.
All right. So we're going to talk about Allison, right? She would be next. Allison, yes. Raybould, if I'm saying her last name correctly, but
that's
Allison.
Why I didn't bother. That's why I didn't bother with last names.
I'll never use them again.
So.
I'm going to skip and AKA yeah. Janet, as far as I'm concerned. Anyone who watches Janet. The Good Place, just Google.
I do not watch The Good Place.
Google The Good Place, Janet, and it's okay. Allison. And I am not the only one that saw this. There was other people on Twitter that were saying the same thing. So kudos to everyone who caught that. That was great. She is a 28-year-old physician from Kansas, and her inspiration is her parents. She also describes herself as dynamic, engaging, and witty, and she thinks that earning trust is a strength. She was also a college athlete. She played soccer. And, you know, hobbies include getting to the bottom of a bottomless basket of breadsticks at Olive Garden. So I like this woman.
Yeah, I can't do that anymore. But, you know, I used to be right there with her.
I know those are good damn breadsticks. Let me tell you. So, yeah. So that's Allison.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing I'm right there with her on is her pet peeve of slow drivers in the left-hand lane. because I got flipped off by some jerk just a couple days ago because he was going slow in the left lane and I passed him on the right. Hey, you don't want me to do it? Move over, pal.
Yeah. Hey, and you know what?
I
didn't even realize she's got issues with drivers. So does Alec and so does Kara. So maybe they can bond over bad drivers.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, the other thing that's interesting, Allison is a podcast listener. So I do think that generally speaks to someone who is good strategically.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it's because I you know, feel good for her in these areas, but I think she'll do pretty well. I'd say that she at least makes the jury.
Yeah.
And then I think she'll make final six or better.
Oh, you think so? I think she's definitely going to be making the jury. She's the only concern I have for her is that she might come across as a little too confident, which could then be seen as a potential threat to people that might not be so confident. But then again, she's with a group of Goliaths, so there might be a significant number of people that have that ability to come across as very confident. So it might not be a problem at all. It might actually work to her benefit.
Yeah. You know, now the one thing that worries me if she does get to final six or better is that she said on First One Out that she will keep her strategy hidden and then reveal all and claim her moves at the end. And considering the special corollary I just added to Rule 2, this makes me very worried for her if she manages to make Final 3.
Yeah. No, I agree. But it'll be fun to watch, Janet.
Yes, yes.
Love it. She looks just like her.
You will confuse me so much if you start calling her
Janet. I know. I won't call her Janet. I will call her Allison. But
all right.
Yeah. And how about the fact that, like, her claim to fame is she won her fifth grade spelling bee.
I know. That was pretty funny.
Considering, everything she's accomplished, like, that's her claim to fame. Good for you. I like that. All right. So next we are talking about Angelina, who is 28, and she is from Nevada. She's a financial consultant. She describes herself as intuitive, persuasive, and loving. Her hobbies include traveling the world. I had already referenced that earlier. And she doesn't like it when people don't like dogs, so good on her as well. She is naturally competitive. She likes to test herself, and the source of her strength is other military families. So that's a little bit of her background.
Yeah, you know, I don't feel, I'm not clicking with her the same way I was for Allison, and that goes for both her bio and her on First One Out, because she talked up her IQ and her EQ, which I guess is emotional quotient. And, you know, she's a friend of our friend, Adam Klein.
She is.
But I, even so, I don't feel like she gets it, in part because your season was the first one that she watched.
Yep.
So she hasn't had a lot of exposure to the game. You know, but with all that said, I think she'll find a way to go decently far, because I don't know. I think there's going to be a certain scrappiness about her. So
I don't get scrappy.
Okay. Well, I get scrappy and I get jury, but not much more than that.
Well, her biggest problem, I think, is she does come across as very high strung. I mean, did you hear her in First One Out? It was like it was a lot, like, really quickly. And she was described by, I believe, other people use the term high maintenance. She was complaining about her hair, and there were some other issues that people had noticed. How people at Ponderosa, like the staff, would like slink away from her because she always had a request. Like, she was one of those that if you have a question, come and ask. And she always had a question. And even Jeff said that she is someone who is high maintenance, who doesn't even recognize that she's high maintenance. And that could be a huge problem, because she could just rub people the wrong way if that's how she acts when she's out there, especially if the weather is bad and it's cold and it's horrible. I see that as being a problem for her.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. It was logically, I think everything you're saying is right. I just, there was something about her that I, you know, just felt that, and it could be totally wrong.
Well, and I think her saving grace could be Allison, because Allison is all about the Black Widow Brigade and bringing back that, like, powerful woman core group. And Angelina is one of the ones that she referenced. And so maybe that's going to be her saving grace, is that Allison is willing to work with her because she wants to further women in the game. But who knows? I'm worried for her. I'm worried for Angelina.
All right.
Oh, I have to do the next one. So you have to forgive me.
Next one. You have to do the hot cop.
It's the hot cop. And I, you see, I'm using paper. I'm not like you where I have to flip. You have everything like laid out perfectly. I have post-it notes and whatnot. Anyway. All right. So, oh, wait, that's the wrong one. I got to find hot cop. Who am I? Dan? See, my post-it notes are not working. Here we go. Dan is a 27-year-old SWAT officer from Florida. His personal claim to fame is making the SWAT team, and he describes himself, well, as the hot cop, because that's what other people described him as. And his inspiration, I thought this was a great story. His hero is his stepfather. It's a really beautiful story. If you didn't read it, because it just shows how significant step-parents can be in someone's life. He can't stand when people are lazy. He says you should go out and get what you want and don't complain about it. And do nothing, expect it to happen. I also hate when people cut me off while I'm talking. Please let me finish what I have to say. It may be important. So I thought that was pretty interesting as well. But
yeah,
there's Dan.
Yeah, I've got some people like that at work who, oh, it just drives me crazy when they do that. And there are some repeat offenders at work. And I'll just sit there and stare at them.
Yep. I and do usually, appreciate what he said.
Usually they don't even realize. They just keep right on going. And it's just like, okay. So, yeah. So anyway, yeah, the hot cop has apparently listened to some RHAP while he was cramming for Survivor. But once again, we have a situation of someone cramming and binging.
Yeah.
And I, you know, as we have talked about already, I'm not sure that's enough to really understand the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also, I eye rolled at the first reason he gave in his bio for why he's going to win. He said, I believe that I could be the winner for multiple reasons. I have a strong desire to win. I always want to win at absolutely everything I do.
Mm.
Well, that obviously separates him from everyone else.
Right.
You know, because
nobody else wants to win.
Right. No one else has the desire to win.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thus the eye roll. I mean,
did you know he's on the cover of a book?
Is it called the Hot Cop book?
No, but it's like a love novel. A love novel thing.
Oh, seriously?
Like, I swear to God, he's on the cover of some like book, like looking longingly into the eyes of another woman.
Well, he had the desire to win her.
Apparently.
Yes. Now, you know, I joke, but I do think his muscles will come in handy.
Yes.
So he really won't have to worry about playing too much until it gets close to the merge. And then I think he'll likely be a merge-ish boot. And I say merge-ish because these days strategic players have been anticipating the merge earlier and earlier. So it could even come a few votes before the actual merge.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's probably where he's going to fall.
So. All right. Well, that's all I have to say about Mr. Hot Cop.
All right. Hot Cop. Moving on to Jeremy. Jeremy is 40 years old. He's from South Carolina and he is another attorney. His personal claim to fame, which is impressive, passed the bar in New York, New Jersey, and Georgia on the first try. And they basically put all of those tests within days of each other. So that's a whole lot of testing real quick. So kudos to you. His pet peeves are lateness, illogicalness, and entitlement. And I think my favorite thing about him, what he said when he was asking or was asked what his inspiration was, he said, I think I inspire myself. I thought that was great. I thought it was so good. And he did say that he's going to do well in this game because of his profession. And in order to understand someone, you have to have a genuine interest in them. And he has the ability to forge those relationships with people from what he's done through his work. So I thought that was pretty good, too. So I enjoy Jeremy quite a bit. I really think he's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, me too. You know, he's a longtime fan. He says in his bio that he thinks his honesty and humor can take him for as long as he makes a strong partnership. But he's also cunning and Probst described him as astute. You know, Jeremy thinks he can read people well and gain their trust. Frankly, if I were going to pick a Goliath to win, I'd pick Jeremy. And I've already picked him as one of the five players on my team in the Survivor draft I'm in with some poker players. I think he has real potential to go far in the game.
Yeah. And I think that because I can't remember if he talked about whether or not he would tell people what he does. No, he's not. He's going to be talking about I can't remember what it is exactly, but he won't be talking about the fact he's an attorney. And again,
right.
I think
another one, yes.
I think his personality will allow him to avoid that as well, because he, not that attorneys can't be fun. We absolutely can be. But I just feel like he has the perception of him at Ponderosa. He was wearing like shorty shorts and like he was really kind of like goofy and like seemed like fun and jovial. So I think he'll be able to pull it off. I do think that he will be able to avoid that being an issue, and people won't know until, you know, the game is done.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like him.
Me too. But on to John.
Oh, my goodness. Here comes Johnny. Ready for this, everyone?
Mm-hmm.
John is 38 years old. He is a pro wrestler from Los Angeles, and he is otherwise known as the mayor of Slamtown, Johnny Nitro, John Morrison, Johnny Mundo, Johnny Impact, and the Shaman of Sexy. So, and I can't forget the best one, the Wednesday Night Delight, which is perfect considering Survivor's going to be on Wednesday.
Yes, yes.
So I do think that we are going to see a lot from him. His inspiration is his father, who is also a lawyer, and his daily life consists of physical training, building relationships, and positioning himself favorably in the wrestling world. And he thinks that he will be able to carry that over into the game of Survivor. And I think he's going to be a fun one to watch. I really think he's going to be obviously a beast out there. I mean, have you seen the guy? I think he's going to do exceptionally well at the beginning and challenges. But once they hit merge, he better hope he's got some very strong relationships formed, because he will be a sure threat in a lot of the physical challenges.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he does appear to know the game, which is certainly good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that will help save him, because I think, like you said, he's a prototypical merge-ish boot again. You know, no one is going to want to keep him around too long, except maybe as a shield for another strong player. But even then, I don't think it will last more than a couple votes past the merge, and probably less.
He did talk about Natalie and wanting to create a relationship with her. And God, I hope that happens, because that will be an incredible duo right there, I think. If it's Natalie and the Shaman of Sexy, I think that will be so much fun to watch. I hope it happens.
Yeah, yeah, it will. It'll just, I just don't think he'll be on for, you know, more than half.
Oh, that's going to be sad, because he's one of my favorites. You know, the six pack doesn't hurt either. So, you know.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, it's just one more thing.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on now to Kara, who is 30 years old from San Diego, California. She is a realtor. Her personal claim to fame is making Charger Girls. She was Rookie of the Year, MVP in 2014, and captain for 2 years. She describes herself as energetic, persistent, and passionate. Her mother is her hero and will always be her hero. And she also doesn't like drivers who use their brakes unnecessarily. So we have another person with issues regarding driving. And I don't know. She describes herself as a chameleon, savvy, adept, even savage, because she's going to be cutthroat. But I have some other things to say about her that are not in her bio, which we've already kind of touched upon.
Yeah, you know, let me just step in. It's interesting that one of her pet peeves is oblivious people.
I know!
And yet she was part of the same social media incident with Alec that we already mentioned.
Yes! Like, come on, girl! What are you doing? Ugh. I'm sorry, I shouldn't yell. But it's another one of these, like, what are you thinking? Like, oh, it's so aggravating. So I just don't see her doing that well, because why would you put yourself?
Yeah, I guess we should have warned people to skip 2 minutes ahead on this one, too.
Yes.
Oh, well, sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Spoiler alert. It's a big time spoiler. But again, it was all over the place. TMZ was reporting on it, and there was her face in that picture. And not only in that picture, but in videos. I mean, it wasn't just one thing. It was multiple things. And there was a message being sent with it, with the language that was used. It was like neither one of them cared. Now, she, I don't think, from what I've seen, she's not in as much trouble as Alec is. But still, she clearly has a relationship with him. Was it created on the plane on the way home? I don't think so. I mean, I feel like this was something that developed much sooner. And I don't know. it's frustrating to me because she just wrecked, along with Alec, the ability to really assess like each of these people and how they're going to play.
Yeah. You know, there's if you want another area to be frustrated with her about, in answer to the question of what previous player she's like, part of her answer was, I would have a positive attitude and make connections like Figgy, except I'd avoid getting into a showmance at all costs. Now, let's just ignore the avoid getting into a showmance part, because, you know, maybe she didn't on the show. Who knows? But, you know, Rob wondered in his preview just what kind of connections Figgy made other than the showmance. My recollection was that she was not great in that regard. So I looked back at my notes from the Why Figgy Lost podcast. I found that my memory was right. I had talked about how she didn't have a great social game, didn't get along with Michaela, Zeke. Zeke said Figgy was causing all the consternation in the first vote, didn't get along with Hannah because she needed so much attention. And I ended the fifth rule for her by noting Figgy not only segregated herself off with the showmance, but she also pushed others away with her behavior. Overall, not a great social game. So yeah. I'm not sure exactly what Kara is shooting for here.
Yeah.
Obviously, you were there, you know.
And just to add, I wasn't going to go on a Figgy tangent because I certainly can. But Figgy actually told Rob Cesternino himself that when he asked her about me, she said, I never liked her anyway. So I was like, OK, I guess Figgy doesn't like me. I didn't really feel that on the island necessarily, but yeah, I mean, she clearly struggled. I mean, she was going to be the first one voted off on her tribe, but for, you know, Michelle saving her and getting everyone, you know, kind of rounding people up and realizing that they shouldn't vote for Figgy because she was in their little core group.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, she wasn't great at creating relationships at all when she was out there, except the one, and that was Taylor, and that was it. So, you know, using Figgy as an example, I underlined it. I wasn't going to mention it, but you went there, so will I. So I think that's a bad idea.
Yeah, but, you know, Kara ended her bio by saying, my social game would be impressive, plus I could win over the jury with game tactics and strategy. Mm. Those are some pretty high hopes, and I know that Jeff Probst said Kara could be a favorite to win, but even putting everything that we know about social media aside, I still don't see it. In fact, I don't think she'll make the merge. And all of that was said before I was even reminded that she was with Alec in those pictures.
Yeah. And I got to stop because I end up spending too much time in my own head trying to figure out, you know, what CBS is doing and how they're handling it the way they are. But I just have to not do that.
Yeah.
Just kind of see how it plays out, I guess.
Yep. All right. So we can move on from Kara here.
Oh, see, and I have to be ready. Okay. Mike, we're going to talk about Mike White. Mike White is age 47 from San Diego, California. Or I'm sorry, now he's in Los Angeles, but he was from San Diego. And he's a filmmaker. Most people, or a lot of people, would probably know him. He describes himself as, which I think is funny, three things to describe yourself with three words. He says curious, funny, dynamic, imaginative. But he used like a little, I don't know, thing between curious and funny to try to make it one word. But he, let's see, his inspiration is George Plimpton, who's a writer. The reason he's playing the game, I always wanted to play, and he has an absurd, he loves the absurd challenge of it all. And, let's see what else I want to really say. I mean, he doesn't say much about himself, but he's clearly a very successful individual, considering, Schoolhouse Rock, is that, you know, and mm-hmm. the other things that he has
don't,
produced.
Don't forget the Emoji Movie. Oh, no, actually, forget the Emoji Movie from everything I've heard.
I did not see the Emoji Movie, but
neither did I.
Yeah, so clearly he's done a lot of incredible things, and I think he'll be interesting. He'll be interesting to watch because he seems so unexpected, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's going to be interesting to watch for long because I'm going to break with the format here. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I think he'll be the first one voted out of the Goliath.
Really?
Yeah, he's clearly on the weaker side, which may come into play.
Mm-hmm.
He's a celebrity, and we know that many celebrities haven't exactly done very well. He even sucked at Two Truths and a Lie with Josh on First One Out. Because when he told the lie, he said, I can actually tap dance. Adding in the word actually is like the clearest indicator that you're lying.
Yeah.
It was an immediate flag, and I knew that one was the lie. And you know, if you can't even do Two Truths and a Lie, how are you going to lie to other people on Survivor? You know, and then finally, while he says in his bio that he has the desire to win, I'm not sure that's true, or at least it didn't sound very true in First One Out, where he talked about the experience and the story. So, no, yeah. I don't think he's going to be around for very long.
Yeah, and that's true, because he's so good at what he does right now and the world that he has created and where he finds himself, that this is one of those, even if he were to be the first one voted out, I feel like he would just be like, that's okay.
Right. Yeah, like, exactly. Whatever.
Because this is just one more thing for him, as opposed to where some people, like, this is what they've been dreaming about their whole life, is to get on Survivor. And they've applied multiple times. And I know he's a fan, and I know he's spoken to Jeff, and he knows the game, but it's a different kind of desire. I think it's just something for him to do, really. Like, oh, you know, I've done all this, now let's do this. So it's a little more ho-hum.
Right, exactly.
Wow, First One Out. I'm sorry, Mike White. All right, now we are going to move on to Natalia. And she is 25, from California. She is an industrial engineer. She describes herself as fun, vibrant, bold, but also very confrontational. And she likes to be in charge. She doesn't get offended easily, so that might be beneficial for her out there. She has some serious issues with not brushing teeth, which that's going to be a problem. I thought it was interesting when she talked about her pet peeves. I also do not like when people stand too close to me in lines and people who tap their feet loudly. I can feel the table moving because of your foot, then there's a problem. And I put myself back on the island when I read this, and how we all had to huddle very close together when we were sleeping in a shelter that was not meant for 10 people. And how Sunday had basically like some type of like restless leg syndrome, if you will. And her leg would like fall over all the time, and she would wake us up incessantly. And like, it almost became funny because we all kind of expected it. But this is what I was thinking about, that like, if these are part of your pet peeves, girl, you're going to be in for it when you're out there. Yeah. Because you are going to be on top of each other and very, very close together. And you will have some very dirty teeth. Get ready for those sticks, because it's the only thing that's going to work.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I read her CBS bio. I just didn't get a lot out of it. You know, I don't have that much to say about her, despite the fact that she is a fan. And I'd like to root for the engineer, but I'm just not feeling it. And, you know, she also said she can be bossy and annoying, neither of which are good things on Survivor. Mm-hmm. It just wouldn't surprise me if she goes pre-merge.
Yeah, and that's honestly, I was having a hard time separating her from Angelina. Like, in my head, I was like, wait, which one is who again? The two of them, I feel like perhaps, I'll say the same thing that I said about Angelina, maybe Allison would be the saving grace because of the Black Widow Brigade. But I feel like she's going to be it's going to be an uphill battle for her. I just don't see her making it very far.
Okay.
Now that's Natalia.
Right.
Now we have to talk about Natalie.
Yes.
Who is 56 years old, and she lives in California. She is a publishing CEO. The three words that she uses to describe herself is competitive, decisive, and persistent. Her pet peeves include people who are negative, people who talk too much and listen too little, and can't bust a grape. I'm not really sure what that is, but she does think that she's going to do well because she's very analytical, logical, calculating, strategic, and can read people. And also, she's a twice cancer survivor, which she is not going to be revealing to anyone. And she plans on lying about her age, says she's going to be 35. And I think she could pull it off. She looks really damn good. And yeah, so that's her. But she also has some concerns about being that older Black woman who is not physically fit as some of the other women on the tribe. So she's very aware of what she's walking into and what she brings to the table as being a potential first boot, which I think speaks very highly of the fact that she's very well versed in this game.
Yeah, I agree. I really want Natalie to do well.
Me too.
I like that she considers herself logical, strategic, and calculating. I like that she's older than me. I like that people are comparing her to Ceri.
Yes.
While she compares herself to Kim Spradlin, although both of those are really high bars.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you know, I like that she recognizes that she could be the first one out, or at least targeted, and she's going to work to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, she's right that she could easily be the first one out. But now this is where the comparison comes in. I said Mike is going to be the first one out, and he's going to be like, yeah, whatever. She's going to fight.
Yes.
And I think if it comes down to a situation of one versus the other, she's going to push and he is not. And, you know, she'll stick around. I think that's a possible outcome.
I think that's absolutely like perfect. I think that right. She will not go down without a fight. I mean, look at where she's come from. I mean, she is someone who came from. She did dig herself out of South Central LA. Yeah.
Yeah. She was the really one I was thinking of earlier when I was saying this is someone who could easily have been on the David.
Yeah. Cup. I mean, this woman, she has worked so hard her whole life and has been through so much and now finds herself here. The last thing she's going to do is let them send her home first. I mean, she has a plan going into this game, and I think we're going to see that come to fruition. I am very excited to watch her. I am hoping that she does exceptionally well because she's one of my favorites. I love her. I think she's extremely impressive, extremely impressive. And I do love that she's 56 years old and they put her on the show. Thank you, CBS.
Yeah, I agree. I will say I think she'll fight. Doesn't mean she won't be the second one out, so the first one out. But if she makes it past those first couple votes, I think she may be in it for the long haul.
Yes, I completely agree. If she's able to hang in there and make it through a little way, I see her going, because once the merge hits and she's still around, no one is going to see her as a physical threat. And I think she's going to be able to work a good social game, and she could just maneuver herself through. I see her going extremely far if she's able to get past those initial votes.
Yeah. All right. So that is it for the Goliaths. I've already called my shot in that I think Mike will be the first one out of this tribe. What about you?
Oh, see, that's so interesting because I thought, honestly, I feel like Angelina and Natalia are in the most trouble. But I can see Mike being a first boot because of his, and you've made me think. See, David, you're right. You've made me think because he is so ho-hum about the whole thing. I don't think he'll fight very hard, whereas I feel like Angelina and Natalia might actually step up and actually try to fight hard. But I think Natalie is going to want Mike to stick around because Mike's an older guy as well and will help keep some of the pressure off of her. You know, Natalie is not going to want to be going up against these young, vivacious, you know, women. She's going to want them to go home. And so I think Natalie's focus is going to be someone like an Angelina or a Natalia. And if John and Natalie can work together, I don't know. I feel like it could be an Angelina or a Natalia going home.
All right. All right. So we've gone through the tribes and we've gone through our predictions about who is likely out first from each of them. Now it's time for a winner pick. And yeah, I know. Well, I'll start.
Okay.
Because I'm always a sucker for a super fan. And there are several of those this season. And as I mentioned, we were discussing Jeremy. If I were going to pick a Goliath, it would be him. But I obviously have to pick a David. There are a few Davids who really seem like they can take it all the way. But 2018 has really been the year of the RHAP patron. So I'm going to pick Nick. I'm going to see if we can I'm going to see if we can finally have a lawyer win Survivor and, you know, have a patron winner. And, we'll go from there. Now, I will say, Nick, sorry, I couldn't draft you in my own Survivor draft. You were taken, but I'll still root for you because I'm going to pick you.
I like it. I like that. I was not expecting that. Now, let me ask you this.
Well, who did you think I was going to pick?
I didn't really know because I spent so much time thinking about who I was going to pick. But Nick, I had kind of middle of the pack. That's where I thought Nick was going to end up. So, I think it's a good pick. I like it. I think it's good. Your Jeremy one didn't surprise me though. I think that if you were, that one makes perfect sense because he was one of my top faves and I struggled with this because you were, you know, you wanted a David. So I really have to have a Goliath. Even though I love Carl and I think Carl is amazing. I want to pick Carl just because he's just so great. I just really love Carl. And Brett picked Carl. Good job, Brett. Because, I just love Carl. But I'm going to go with a Goliath just to kind of, you know, we'll keep the theme going. So in my looking at the Goliaths, I had my favorites. Jeremy is right up there as a favorite. And Natalie is right up there as a favorite. And I really, 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 I just love Natalie so much. I really want her to win. I really do. Oh, this is so hard. I put a little star next to Natalie's name because I'm like, just go with your gut, girl, and just pick Natalie. You know what? I'm doing it. I'm just going to pick Natalie because why the hell not? Since I can't pick Carl, I'm going to pick Natalie.
All right. Well, we will see.
I know.
Okay, as we are about to wrap up, I do want to remind everyone about the RHAP patron program. This seems to be an appropriate time since I mentioned this is the year of the patron. You can head over to robhasawebsite.com/patron to help support all of the RHAP podcasts and take a look at the various Patreon levels to find out what kinds of perks you can get. One I personally think is the most important and the most fun is that you can join the patron Facebook groups, to be part of the conversations. Among the people you can talk to are now several Survivor players because, like I said, you're the patron. Now, I can't guarantee that joining and becoming a patron will, you know, mean that you will get on Survivor. But it can't hurt, right? You know,
true.
I mean, so also, in case you're not trying to get on the show, you can find out in advance about live events, get first access and discounts for tickets like the upcoming Know It Alls in New York City. Rob does special podcasts and videos just for patrons, and there are a bunch of other perks, too. So check out everything at robhasawebsite.com/patron. And after you become a patron and you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello to us there. All right. We need a hashtag. I do not have one.
Oh, hashtag should be hashtag David versus Jessica.
You know, that's what I was thinking. David versus Jessica is the hashtag.
If
we're both thinking it, it's got to be
that's
hashtag.
Right. That's what it's got to be.
So, and of course, there's the hashtag for this podcast overall. YX lost. You know, everyone should make sure that they're ready for the season by subscribing to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts at robhasapodcast.com/survivor or, of course, on your favorite podcatcher. We are also on the reality TV wrap-ups feed, and between those two places, you will find great RHAP content like the Know-It-Alls, the Wiggle Room, the B&B, much more. So, besides talking to us in the patron Facebook group, people can also follow us on Twitter. Jessica is at JessicaLewis89.
Mm-hmm.
I am at David Bloomberg.
Follow
Make sure
us
to
both.
Follow, that's right. Follow both of us to see the whole conversation throughout the week. And as we wrap up, thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who does the editing on all the Why Blank Lost podcasts. Thanks, as always, to Will from America for the theme song. And thank you, Jessica, for overcoming your dread of making predictions.
I'm already kicking myself.
Oh, no.
No, but see, here's the thing. And thank you, David, for letting me take part in this, because this has been, like I said, an incredible experience. You make me think outside the box, and I really try to put all these pieces together. But yeah, I'm going with my gut, and I won't even mention I might have asked my magic 8-ball. So just so you know.
But you did mention it, so you can't say you won't even mention it.
All right. I did ask my magic eight ball.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But yeah, no, I mean, I'm excited for this season. I think it's going to be fun to watch. And hell, I've done so bad the past couple of years with these predictions. Whatever, you know, I'll take a Mike White kind of attitude and just be like, eh, no big deal.
It'll be a good story, right?
But I do have some very deep-seated like love for a lot of these players. So I'm excited to see how they're going to do out there. And I can't wait to watch.
All right. Same here. So, you know, we will be back here in a week and we will talk about why the first player lost. Will it be Mike? Will it be someone other than Mike? We don't know. You'll just have to join us then. So until then, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost. And this is why blank lost.